my dear brothers and sisters, it's certainly a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here this morning. And I've been greetings from the brothers and sisters of the Yacob Street Ecclesia. So let me begin by asking a question. How has your week been? How has your month been? Do you feel that you are growing closer to God in the midst of the challenges, the trials, the day-to-day challenges? How are you doing, really, sister? How are you doing, really, brother? When we greet one another, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How is our spiritual walk in terms of drawing nearer to God? What I want us to do, brothers and sisters, is to go back to the early chapters of Genesis, to which we want to base some of our thoughts. I was actually spoilt for choice this morning in terms of what I wanted to say. Genesis and chapter 2, and the theme really by way of exhortation is simply drawing nearer to God, sticking to God, holding on to God in times of challenge. In Genesis chapter 2, we are reminded about how Adam felt. God, in Genesis chapter 2, remember, it says that God brought all the animals before Adam to see what he would call them. Isn't that beautiful? God wanted Adam, right at the very outset, to play his part in creation, to see, verse 10, verse 19, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Isn't that marvelous? It's as if God is building in now something for man to do. Earlier on in the chapter, remember it says, and there was not a man to till the ground. Oh, there was not a man to aerate the soil. It's as if God had built into his very creation this aspect of something for man to do when he arrives. Not a man to till the ground. God invites Adam to play his part in creation. Did you notice that? Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. That's interesting. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was very good. Chapter 1, verse 31. Six times good. Seven times altogether now. It says, very good. And in chapter 2, it is not good that man should be alone. There was something that needed to change. And so God brings a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And because of the deep sleep would come forth the bride, just like the last Adam, remember, sleeping the sleep of death, and would now cause the bride of Christ. Verse 22, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, in the RV margin it says, and Adam said, this at last is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It's as if God, notice, wanted Adam to experience loneliness. Did you notice that? All the creatures passed by, but for Adam there was not found anything that was suitable. This at last is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Do you notice too, when the verse is clear to show us that God brought Eve to the man. Oh, how romantic would it have been if God had organized it so when she opens her eyes, the first thing she sees is the fine figure of a man. Not so. First and foremost, her relationship had to be with her creator first. That was vital in terms of the marriage. Her creator, her relationship with her creator had to be at the center of it all. And in so doing, enhance the marriage. And in a husband and wife relationship, they know that God, above everything else, must take priority. And Adam said, this now is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And he calls her name. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. To cleave, to stick, to adhere, from where we get the word adhesive, take to. And that stickability between husband and wife. So in the modern age of superglue, if there is a breaking apart, then the whole thing, because these, they have been pulled together, molded together, welded together, if you like. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave, stick, adhere, take to. Now you see, brothers and sisters, that principle was shown also, wasn't it, to God's people as a nation. Come across, please, to Deuteronomy and chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, we have a similar thing. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19 onwards. 18 for connection. Therefore, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Here it comes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. It's the daily readings. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied. Verse 22. For if ye shall diligently, gently, gently does it, brother, as you guide the children, gently. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to, notice, love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations. Did you notice that natural progression, brothers and sisters? They had to love God first. And after loving him, they would walk in his ways. And after walking in his ways, they would cleave to him, stick to him, call to him, find him. Did you notice that natural progression? Loving, walking, cleaving. Now you see the point. We cannot walk in his ways if we don't love it. We cannot cleave unto him if we are not walking his ways. You love, you walk, you cleave. That progression reminds us that we are to get as close as possible to God as possible, to love him, which will propel us to walk in his ways, which happily we might find him, to cleave unto him, to stick to him. Come across again to Joshua chapter 22. Similar theme, notice. But now there is an extra progression. Joshua chapter 22, this of course is the chapter when they have helped their brethren on the east of Jordan. Remember, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh on the east of Jordan, they said, well, we want to stay here on the east of Jordan to take the land. Fine, God says. Fine, Moses says. However, you have to go over to the west of Jordan and help your brethren. Then Joshua called all the Reubenites and Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I command you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given you rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get unto your tents, and unto the land of your possessions, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. However, before you go, I'd like to remind you of a principle. Take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to, if it comes again, love the Lord your God. Now, there's not three things now. He takes it further. There's seven. To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, right? And to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, there are seven complete things. And did you notice that, brothers and sisters? It is about getting closer and closer to God. Notice again, to love, to walk, to keep, you found God, to cleave. Here now comes sincerity and truth, as he says in Joshua chapter 24. To serve God in sincerity, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So he's taking it now one step further. Not merely to cleave to God, but to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So how is your sticking system? Brother, the challenges, the personal challenges of life, whatever our age, whether we are young, whether we are our age, whether we have come and had to flee from a country that we once knew. And we leave behind our loved ones, maybe our children. How are we sticking to God now in times of challenge? Jeremiah chapter 13 is a chapter which reminds us as to how God wanted his people to stick to him. Jeremiah chapter 13 says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." So I went and got a linen girdle, and then he says, take it up, verse 5, to Euphrates. Dig a hole and bury it. So he does. And then he goes back home. After a while, verse 8, then the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this, verse 7, then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. So he goes back, he finds a place where he's dug the hole, retrieves this piece of material, and holds it up to the light. And this thing is rotten. It's good for nothing. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk. Oh, they were walking all right. Oh, they were loving all right. Oh, they were pleading all right. Which walk in the imagination of their own heart, and walk after other gods. Oh, they were serving all right, and serve other gods, and worship other gods, shall be as this girdle. For as a girdle cleaveth, sticketh to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not. Now this word cleave is an interesting word. It can be quite the opposite. You can cleave to something, cling to something. Oh, but by the same token, you can cleave, split in two, a piece of wood. We can have something which is called a meat cleaver, and you split the meat in two. But the word cleave can also mean sticking, holding on in times of challenge. Well, you see, brothers and sisters, it's very easy, isn't it, to stick to God when everything is right with my soul. But what about when the challenges come? The worry, the tears, the pain, the frustration, when perhaps at times all seems to be lost. Or perhaps the psalmist might help us. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, take it up from verse 25. Perhaps this might help. Psalm 119, verse 25 onwards, when all seem lost, to the extent where he feels he's almost as good as dead. Verse 25 of Psalm 119. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me, make me alive according to thy word. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to build and we're going to see now that what is at the center of this man's existence is God's word. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. The Dabar. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. My soul droppeth. This man is in the depth of despair. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Verse 30, I have chosen. Verse 31, here it comes. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I have cleaved. I have fingered. I have held on to you, Lord. Even though I feel so down, I'm going to stick with you. I'm not going to let you go. Whatever comes, I'm going to stick with you, Lord. I'm going to hold on with you to you. You might have heard me say this story before. Our eldest son, Caleb, is now 28. When he was about 4 and a half, we took them down to the park and skipping on, and there was a dog approaching. The nearer the dog got, the nearer he retreated back to Dad. And as the dog got nearer and nearer, he held my hand. And as the dog got nearer and nearer, the tight got firmer and firmer. And as the danger was right there, his hand held onto my hand, tighter and tighter. And as the dog passed by, he tucked himself up on one leg by Daddy's thigh. And as the danger went by, he released, got back on two legs, and skipped on his merry way. And there's a lesson there, isn't there, brothers and sisters? The greater the danger, the firmer the hold. The greater the challenge, the tighter the grip. The greater the trauma, the stronger the resolve. It has to be so. In holding on, sticking, cleaving, clinging to God. The psalmist says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Come across, please, brothers and sisters, to Matthew chapter 26. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 26. Similar words. My soul melteth for heaviness. Matthew 26. Jesus in the garden. You remember. My soul melteth for heaviness. Verse 36. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. They took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch and pray. And it is only Luke's gospel in chapter 22. We won't go there because of time. When God sends an angel. Only Luke tells us that God sends an angel, strengthening him.
Only when he says, Lord, not my will, but let thine be done. God doesn't take the problem away. He gives him the strength to continue, brother, sister, through that channel.
Because he gives it to God. He holds on to God. It is Acts of the Apostles, you will remember, in Acts chapter 11. And we're going in, Acts 11, at a time of great persecution. Acts 11, and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and so on. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go forth as far as Antioch, who when he had came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, persistent effort, diligent heed, they would cleave unto the Lord. That's all he says. I don't think so. I wonder where he started. Did he start in Genesis? Cleave unto the Lord. Did he look at Joshua? Cleave unto the Lord. Did he look at Jeremiah? Cleave unto the Lord. In the context of persecution, the things that would make them stronger is to preach God's word and to stick to him, whatever the challenge is. Romans chapter 12, we won't go there, says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. James says, draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to thee. Come across very briefly now, brethren and sisters, we'll bring our thoughts together to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. A beautiful verse. 2 Chronicles 16. Does this help? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The prophet says to the king, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Margin. Or strongly to hold with them whose heart is perfect toward him. Is God holding us? Or is he holding on with us? Or is it that we are holding on to him? God is ever faithful, brothers and sisters. Ever faithful. So in our challenges, in our distress, when life is difficult, hold on. When the tears come, hold on. When loneliness sets in, hold on. Whatever the challenge, the firmer the hold, the stronger the grip, the greater the result. In a few moments, we will break bread and drink wine together. Perhaps our president might say, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. But
why do we have to wait until the president asks us to examine ourselves? Why don't we examine ourselves tomorrow morning? Tuesday afternoon? Thursday night? Saturday morning? Have we restricted the time of self-examination to merely a few moments as to when the president gives a command to do so? Our whole lives, brothers and sisters, we must strive to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves the question, are we really holding on to the things of God? And how thankful we are that it was not for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had not held on, if he had not cleaved to his God, where would we be? May it be, brothers and sisters, that this week which is now upon us, may we remember that God strongly holds with them whose heart is perfect toward him, knowing that we fail. We thank God for this time, that we might examine ourselves and so partake of the blessings of this bread and wine as we remember our Lord. May it be that in this week which is now upon us, take these things to heart, to love him, to walk in his ways, to cleave to him, to serve him in sincerity and in truth until he come. Amen.